Will you please join me in the invocation printed in your bulletin or on the screen? O God, who is greater than the most powerful forces in this world, enable us to be still and know that you are God.
O Lord, who blesses out the whirlwind of everyday life, breathe in us your Holy Spirit to strengthen, comfort, and guide us in the midst of our storms.
O still, small voice, speak to us this hour that we might become makers of your peace in our homes, in our community, and in the world.
We pray all this in the name of the one who calmed the raging sea. Amen.
Please stand and sing with us number 662, Stand Up and Bless the Lord.
Bulletin, for sure. There you go. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. In God the Creator, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over and loving will is directed toward creation. We believe in Jesus the Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of God's unfailing grace, the source of our hope, and the promise of our freedom from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, who teaches, guides us in the truth, and strengthens us in time of need. We believe that this faith should be made real in our lives through acts of loving service, following the example of Jesus, so that heaven on earth may be experienced. Please be seated. It's my joy to invite all the children in this room. We have so many with us this morning to come down here and have special time. We'll have a special children's message. Wow, you are so fast. Hi, good morning. Wesley, come here, buddy. I'm so glad to see you all here this morning. So I wanted to do a little pretend this morning. I'm going to pretend I have an apple seed in my hand, and I'm going to dig a hole and bury my apple seed in the dirt, and I'm watering it, and the sun is shining on it, and we're going to fast forward and watch it grow into a great big lemon tree. Would it? You think my lemon tree will do well if I bury an apple seed?
No.
No, why not?
Because it's an apple seed.
Oh, what do I get if I bury an apple seed?
Apple.
I get an apple tree? Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know. So if I bury an apple seed and I nurture it and take care of it, I get an apple tree. Well, you know, the same is true when we come to worship and we learn about Jesus. It's kind of like Jesus gets planted into us, and we learn, and we learn about Jesus, and so what comes out of us is called the fruit of the Spirit. And those are things like loving kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control and faithfulness. They're all good things. So if I have Jesus planted in me, can I say mean things about other people?
No.
No, because that's the wrong tree. So I want you to know that when we have Jesus planted in us, we say good things. And good things that Jesus would say come out of us, right? Let's have a prayer together. God, thank you for these children. Thank you that we are fortunate enough to have them in our midst. For you told us to learn from them how to open ourselves to you like little children. Help us to learn from them how to be loving and kind. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you join me in singing Jesus Loves Me to these children as they return to their seats? Jesus loves me, this I know. Go back to see Mommy.
Okay. The Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Amen. As a community of faith, we use our words to try to create a new reality for one another. We do that by praying for each other, by admitting we don't have it all together, but realizing nobody has it all together. If they tell you they do, they're lying. And that we need to support each other. So what are the ways that we can pray for each other this morning? How is it with your soul? Of course, we want to remember all these places that are being pummeled with rain and flooding and the victims of people who have lost life, and pray for all the folks who are going down there, the helpers. Yes. Oh my goodness. Oh. Thank you, Teresa McNabb. Got it.
Church to still remember Ari, and we're going to put it out. from, anyone who would like to send a card to her, wishing her well, just let her know that you're thinking of her. If you can't go by, will you please send a card, and we will see that it gets. She has her good days and she has her bad days. At times she's often asking about the church, if this person's here going, if they attend regular stuff. She remembers and loves you all.
Thank you. Sharon.
I'd like to say prayers for my brother Wally. He had a serious back surgery 2 weeks ago, and he was back in the hospital. His kidneys don't. He's having a really rough time. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Mike. Oh my goodness. Two bus drivers killed in Crossville. Oh my goodness. This is what, I'm sorry? Right, our Terry Honeycutt is in South Carolina at this time. Yes.
We're in our third week of treatment.
They're having some kind of way we are, where she is. But I would like to ask the church, there is a baby in the church that she attends there. He's not a year old yet, but he's been diagnosed with Crohn's disease. I don't know if you ever heard of it or not, but it completely takes away everything. He was in, I think, Milwaukee, I'm not sure. Thinking maybe they could do a bone marrow transplant or something, but it's too far gone for that. I'm pretty frightened of that.
Oh my goodness. Larry.
We're now halfway through the radiation treatment for Alice. We should be in the fourth week, but she lost the week from other issues, was not able to be there. We're starting to see some side effects from the radiation, nothing major, but enough to be irritating. So continue to please pray for Alice. We have 3 more weeks to before we'll be through with radiation treatment.
Good. You know, life is a mix. The Apostle Paul says, in the midst of life, there is death. And we serve and love a Savior who conquered death, stared it in the face. And let us join now our hearts to stare these threatening things down with the love of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we place so much before you now. God, it is hard to watch news, to hear of troubles, especially troubles about loved ones, family members, infants. And I thank you that we have this place, this community called church, where we can come and speak out loud those things that stir in us. And I pray that through our speaking out loud, that your Holy Spirit will somehow transform us, relieve us of our fear and anxiety, our worry and our doubt, our feelings of overwhelm. Show us your power and your strength, gracious God, as we lift up all these names before you, as we lift up ourselves, requests that we don't want to say out loud. May the words we speak and utter silently transform our situation through the awareness and power of your presence with us. I pray that you comfort your people. I ask that you meet each and every one here this morning, right where they are, and meet them how they need you to meet them. Where you find pain, touch and bring elevation, mount them up on wings like eagles, that they might run and not grow weary. For those who suffer from health problems and concerns, pour out your spirit of healing. For those who live in fear of the future, cast out fear with your perfect love. And gracious God, in all these prayers, I ask that you help us to somehow know that even in suffering, you are with us, and you are not only with us, but that you make trying times holy for us. Turn these prayers into holy times for us. Sanctify us through them. Sanctify those for whom we pray, that we might come out on the other side transformed. We give you thanks for your love. We pray for your peace that passes understanding. All as we now join our voices together to pray the disciples' prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. It is a joy and a privilege to be a part of what God is doing in the world, and we offer up portions of tithes, gifts, as well as our prayers and our presence here, our worship and our service. Let us pray. Wonderful God, thank you for givers. And I ask that you make these gifts go to work for your kingdom, that it will be on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name I ask, amen. Thank you.
Sing with us number 408, The Gift of Love.
Lesson this morning is from the book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. James writes, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also, the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members in a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives? Or a grapevine figs? Or an apple tree lemons? No, no more can salt water yield fresh. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, I ask that your Holy Spirit mingle between my lips and your hearers' ears. I ask that you speak through me, and if not through me, in spite of me. But these words and this moment will make us be better friends with you. I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable to you, O Lord. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. I remember saying that as a child. Does anybody remember saying that? I don't know if the children still say that. I hope not, because it's nonsense. Ask anybody who's been on the receiving end of a verbal lashing, and they will say, that hurts. Ask anybody who's been on the receiving end of verbal abuse, especially if it's by a loved one, someone they trust. It's crushing. There's a Psychology Today article that says if you were to put into an MRI, or it says fMRI, I don't know what the F stands for, scanner, it's a huge magnet, we all know what that is, that can take a video of the neural changes happening in your brain, and you flash the word no for less than 1 second, you see a sudden release of dozens of stress-producing hormones and neurotransmitters. These chemicals immediately interrupt the normal functioning of your brain, impairing logic, reason, language processing, and communication. In fact, just seeing a list of negative words for a few seconds will make a highly anxious or depressed person feel worse. And the more you ruminate on them, the more you can actually damage key structures that regulate your memory, feelings, and emotions. You'll disrupt your sleep, your appetite, and your ability to experience long-term happiness and satisfaction. Because positive words are not a threat to our survival, the brain barely responds to positive words and thoughts. When there is no threat, the brain doesn't need to respond as rapidly as it does to negative thoughts or words. So to overcome this bias for negativity, we must repetitiously and consciously generate as many positive thoughts as we can. Barbara Fredrickson, one of the founders of positive psychology, discovered that if we need to generate at least three positive thoughts and feelings for each expression of negativity. It's a funny thing, isn't it, how James wrote this letter to warn Christians to watch their words and tame their tongue long before neuroscience and MRIs were a thing. It's scary and sad that our human condition is such that we choose to dwell on negativity and blame. We struggle continually with fear and anxiety, and we have to work at taming our tongue. In this third chapter of James, the focus is on how faithful Christians speak about other human beings who are created in God's own image, and calls Christians to account for any abusive language that proceeds from their mouth. James begins this chapter, this teaching, with words about the destructive power of the human tongue. And how is it that words are so powerful? How is it that words can hurt us more mortally, more permanently than a broken arm? I mean, words are just symbols, right? They're just, if I say the word book, what goes on in your brain? Do you see letters? B-O-O-K? Do you think of a particular book? Maybe there's a favorite book, and then you have an emotion attached, love, or a book you absolutely hated to have to read in English class in high school. And then there's that feeling of just defeat. I don't understand Shakespeare. I must not be smart. Sometimes the images, almost always, the images, the symbols, the words that are symbols, those images have emotion connected to them. The word baby, the word mother, the word husband or wife or love. Each conjures up an emotion, a feeling for us. And because each of us is different and unique and has different and unique backgrounds and experiences, those images and feelings and emotions are not necessarily shared among us. And that's why we get into so much trouble as a community with our words. Ever try to tell somebody something positive and they took it as negative? It's because they have different experiences and emotions associated with words. Something emotionally loaded for one person can be completely neutral for another person. And that's why one of the reasons it's so important to be attentive to our words. That's why words, even if said with the best intent, can still wound. I have a friend whose mother said to her recently, "You know, I love you in spite of what comes out of my mouth." Okay, well, there you go. Have you ever had that experience of something spewing out of your mouth in a moment and then going, "Oh, I want to rewind, I want to delete, I want to reel that back in"? Being able to take back something that you wish you had never said because you know that the hearer, or if you're on the receiving end, you can't unhear it. What do our words create? Last week we talked about actions. James talked about they'll know we are Christians by our loving actions. And this week, James is talking about they'll know we are Christians by our loving words. James writes about the power of our words and the importance of taming our tongues. We know that that words have power to do harm or to do good. And we know that nothing can destroy our confidence or our joy or our peace of mind quicker than a word, a violent word. And nothing can pick us up and change the course of our life or our mood more than hearing words of praise and assurance. Words can hurt. And that childhood rhyme is nonsense. We hope it will lessen the sting of harsh words, but it doesn't. And so James writes about taming our tongues, watching our words, because something great is at stake. When words match actions and beliefs, we get something called integrity. And that's what's at stake here in this letter and teaching of James. And it's not just our own individual integrity, and it's not just this church's integrity or the church's integrity. It's Jesus's integrity that is at stake when we mess up with our words. It's a huge issue today that people don't want to go to church because they say, oh, Christians are just hypocrites. They say one thing, but then they behave in another way. There's a disconnect. There's a lack of integrity going on there. Integrity means using the power that you have to keep your word. The Bible calls us time and again to let our yes mean yes and our no mean no. In Proverbs, it says, the heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. We are being taught and trained to have integrity. And James is a part of that biblical tradition. So he begins with the idea, with which we all agree, the importance of speaking truth, of teachers being held to a higher standard. But then he extends this idea to everybody, to get everybody to think about the power that speech has. It makes me think of the saying, you kiss your mother with that mouth? If, you know, somebody says something not so nice in your presence, to kiss your mother with that mouth? James explains the idea from teachers to everyone with these illustrations about the horse with the bit and the bridle and the ship and the rudder. The tongue is something that needs to be tamed and controlled, like the ship's rudder by the pilot. It's like a fire, he says, and when a fire is under control, it brings warmth, but out of control, it burns down the state of California. And after getting our attention with these images, James makes his primary point. Out of the same mouth come praise of God and cursing of God's people. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or an apple tree bear lemons? The tongue is powerful, but it is driven by who we are on the inside. Integrity is driven by our character. Whether we use our words for good or ill is determined by who we are at our core. James reminds us of Jesus' comment, a good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. The state of our soul, our character, drives our tongue. How is it with your soul? John Wesley would ask the early Methodists every time they gathered. If we are filled with anger and hate, that's what's going to come out. If we are filled with peace and grace, that is what is going to come out. And it's a constant, ongoing thing. I catch myself when I'm driving. You know, I just got to work on that and stop saying things about God's precious children who are driving the car that, you know, go slower, cut me off, or do whatever it is, and work on myself. My tongue and what comes out is an indicator. It's like a gauge, a pressure gauge. And if it's going off, I need to say, hey, what's going on with the state of my soul that is coming out of me? It's not what goes in that defiles the person. It's what comes out, Jesus said. Followers of Jesus are asked and called and encouraged to pay attention to what comes out in our words. Ultimately, what comes out should be a reflection of the Holy Spirit's presence in us. If we're Christians, then people who watch us, our words represent Jesus. And that's why it's Jesus' very integrity that is at stake. So our call and challenge is to make sure we don't say things to people at any time that Jesus wouldn't say. If we wouldn't say it to our friends, our loved ones, our church, or as Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, I tell you on the day of judgment, you will have to give an account for the careless words you utter, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That's in Matthew 12, verse 37. Words both reflect the state of our soul and actually transform us. You've heard it said, confession is good for the soul. It's because confession, when kept inside, a falling short, whatever it is, can eat us alive. But when I confess it, even if it's to a trusted friend or in silence in my prayer closet, it releases, it frees me, that transforms me. Speaking the truth changes us. And just like speaking the truth changes us, speaking falsely changes us. One makes us more heavenly, one makes us not so much. There's a quote attributed to so many people, nobody can really figure out who, but here's the summary of it. It says, watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your deeds. Watch your deeds, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. As I was trying to find the source of this quote, one of which is attributed to the founder of the Bi-Lo grocery stores, I came across this quote attributed to the Buddha, which says, the thought manifests as the word manifests as the deed develops into habit, the habit hardens into character. So watch the thought and its way with care, and let it spring from love, born out of concern for all beings. So James's comment about how none of us is perfect and how we need to watch our tongues is talking about training. How do we train? How do we train for taming the tongue? And the answer is Christian worship. We gather out of the world into this place on Sunday morning for a variety of reasons, but a couple of the main theological reasons are, number one, when people who don't go to church drive by, they see cars parked here, and they think, something worthwhile for somebody is going on inside there. And that in and of itself makes a witness, a testimony. Also, what we do here, all the little funny things, the standing, the sitting, the praying, the singing, the praising, the hearing, the confessing, it's all practice for how we're supposed to live the rest of our lives. How we behave in here is how we're supposed to live the rest of the week and how we are to speak. Worship is where we relearn how to speak truth. Worship is where we remember whose we are and how we are to behave because of whose we are, the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we transform the inner state of our souls, inner state of our souls? By ourselves we don't, but through Christ we do, through gathering with fellow Christians in worship and being in this training, we do. God transforms us through worship. We watch our thoughts and let them be meditations on God's love for us. We watch our words and let them be words of gratitude to praise God. We watch our deeds and let them be deeds of loving service, of forgiveness and reconciliation. We watch our habits that we pick up here. That is how we get a destiny as individuals and as a body that transforms the world. Psalm 19 captures it beautifully. It starts off by saying the creation extols the glory of God. The firmament, the dome, the earth, the heavens tell of the glory of God, and the dome proclaims God's handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech. So when we pour forth good speech, God speech, we are just joining what's already going on in creation. There is no speech, there are no words, nor are there words, their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, he has set forth a tent for the sun. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure. He's talking about, the psalmist is talking about the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, and how they are set to pilot us. They help us see when we're not getting it straight. They show us our error and help us reflect and course correct. More desired are the laws than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, the laws of God, is your servant warned, and keeping them is great reward, a transformative destiny. Who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from proud thoughts. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of transgression. And so may the prayer of the psalmist be our prayer as we live our lives this week. Let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Sing with us number 568, Christ for the World We Sing.
Loving zeal, the poor and the
go forth from this place in the name of Jesus the Christ to pour forth beautiful God's speech on all that you meet. In the name of God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Mm-hmm.